We are a unique gathering of people because we are an intergenerational group of people. And so I want to introduce how we're going to move a little bit differently in worship. And as I do that, I want to remind all of us that we are intergenerational. And so we have our youngest friends up to our oldest friends in the room. And today is a day that many of us remember, actually, September 11th, in all its detail. Some of us weren't born yet. Some of us have never heard of it. And so some of this might be rather curious, right? And so as we begin, I want to give some permissions. The first permission is to always stay right where you are. The second permission is for parents to remember that young friends can light candles too. It's part of why we have sand, to help with safety. And up here, they'll need more help if you choose to come up here, which is absolutely okay, but you have to get a candle down inside the other candles. All we have is time, so I want you parents to breathe and to just relax, for the time it takes to light a flame is infinitesimal. All right, but the power of lighting a candle can echo throughout one's life and keep lighting. The Reverend Charisse Tucker shared these words to help us prepare our hearts and minds, our bodies, our souls for worship on this morning, in which it is the 21st anniversary of September 11th. She wrote this: "To do work in the world, we must be affected by the world. To sense the heart and intention of God, we must be moved by the heart and intention of God. And as we navigate the hard parts of this prophetic project called life, on the days that the weight and despair threaten to overwhelm us, we must find ways to feel all that we can, all that we can, and make full use of the spiritual disciplines that we have at our employ, like lament and lighting candles and silence and prayer, to help us give voice to the hard things as we see our way through to the other side. So on this day of remembrance, which connects us immediately back to the trauma, always, of September 11th in 2001, we also hold the trauma of the day itself easily evolved into several other national traumas of war and the aftermath of war, and we're keenly aware of all of those things on this very day, because war rages in far-off places, right, at this very moment, and gun violence touches us here, close to home and far away. Global pandemic has yet to fade completely from our consciousness and lives, and our climate crisis threatens God's most vulnerable in unthinkable ways. So as people of faith, that's who we are, we're called to remember how trauma and despair can threaten every generation, and so often that trauma builds. See, we pass it on from generation to generation. So feeling some of this, a little bit of it or a lot of it, as we gather, we are going to open with some time for music, for lament and lighting of candles, staying where we are, or moving around the room. These two opening pieces are new to our community, so we're going to try them. They're from a singer-songwriter named Trevor Hall. And we invite all of our friends at home to do the same thing we are doing in this room, which is to light candles and to breathe. There are stations all around us, and these are here for your lighting. There are small votives, and Matt and I will begin at the end of the music. So let us join as we sit and breathe and pray in this long line of love which has gone before us, and move into worship through prayer and song, rooted, deeply rooted in God's lament for our hurting world.
How you gonna get through this time? Falling into a blue sky mind. Came to me in that song, my friend. I just wanna go back again. Mother standing right next to me, showing me what I need to see. Rain is falling into my mouth, flowers blooming all up and down. I found him through the body. It's in him through the body. In and through the body.
All along.
It's in and through the body.
All along.
It's in and through the body.
All along.
It's in and through the body. No more secrets, come as you are. All you need is courage, heart to heart. There's no tradition, no thing by the book. All you need is courage, have the strength to look. There's no pretending, you can't measure in this room. Just walk through the doorway, just follow the tune. I see your robe of patches. It is perfectly arranged. Here there is no worry. Letting go of shame. We sit in pure absence without expectation. Without expectation. Little shade, don't be scared. Come on in, everything will be alright. A common truth or something new. What's to lose? All we gotta do is try. Little shade, don't be scared. Come on in, everything will be alright. A common truth or something new. What's to lose? All we gotta do is try. Let us share, don't be scared. Come on in, everything will be alright. A common truth, something new. What's to lose? All we gotta do is try. Let us share, don't be scared. Come on in, everything will be alright. A common truth, something new. What's to lose? All we gotta do is try.
All we gotta do is try.
Everything will be alright. Everything will be
undo and make. We eat. We devour the world around us. Soft flesh, vulnerable and ambitious. But to stop there would be to stop everything. Transformation and flight. Air poured out like silk. Carrying a heart extended, wings carrying life forward. So shrink down and be satiated in the face of grief, still. Lean into that protective coat of silk or branch, not hate or stone. And die, so that all of you can live in and through you. And me.
so heavy right now. So, welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator for the table. I'm usually the crier like Pastor Linda, so I don't want to tear up right now. We are grateful to be together on this September 11th for worship. As a community of faith, we root our lives in grace each Sunday morning in worship. We grow in faith with weekly kitchen table, and we reach in love in many ways. For those of us gathering online at thetable.live, Chloe is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have any questions or need assistance. If you'd like to learn more about our community of faith or stay in touch, please text the word new to the number on the screen. When you're ready to connect with others and to learn more about how we practice our faith at the table, our co-pastors lead a six-week series we call Growing in Faith. This series helps newcomers connect with others and learn more about how we share life together. We have a group which is full starting this Tuesday, and a new series will in November 1st. Learn more and register to participate on our website. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. We are excited to begin a new year of godly play with our children this morning, and we'll move now into blessing for our teachers.
Throughout our history, God has raised up teachers. I think all of us, on some level, I hope, raise up teachers, mentors, prophets, and guides. And these folks lead and instruct the people of faith. And we're thrilled, really thrilled, to have adults and teenagers take their place in this long line of love by serving over our new school year as godly play storytellers and doorkeepers with our children inside the building. Yeah.
So we want to invite those teachers who are here with us now to come up to the front. And so Jackie and Eleanor, there is Jan coming, and Pam, excellent, and Victor. There may be others with us, and we know some are at home worshiping with us online, and other of our teachers will be with us at 11 o'clock as well. Empress is in the nursery with Holly, who's helping this morning with our very youngest friends under 4, and Empress will be teaching at 11 as well. Look at us. We're already moving around. Beautiful. Our Godly Place sanctuary upstairs, as we come back to being in person and online as well, our Godly Place sanctuary upstairs is a space for our children, kindergarten through sixth grade, to wonder together, to learn the language of faith, and to wonder together about how God's love is already moving in their lives. And so we are going to pray together. First, we have a very simple question to ask you all, two of them, and then we're going to pray for you all.
Right. And your answer is simple, too. I'll prompt you. So, teachers, doorkeepers, will you reach in love by sharing yourself and your gifts in the ministry of godly play? If so, say we will. And will you stay in love with God by telling the stories of our faith to our children so that they will become more fully aware of the mystery of God's presence in their life? If so, say we will. I'll ask one more thing. It's not on the script. Relax.
Already going off script. Okay.
Will you get down on the floor and not worry about messes with our children? If so, say we will.
Amen. beautiful. And I want to invite all of us to pray for these beautiful people who'll be watching over our children in the school year ahead. And we want to invite you to do that by raising your hand in this way as a way of blessing the people that are before us. And I know that makes some very uncomfortable. And for others, we just got transported back to our childhood religious experience. So the words of our prayer will be on the screen. So let us pray for these phenomenal teachers.
We give thanks for the way in which you are reaching in love on behalf of our community of faith. May you grow in faith as you wonder and learn alongside our children. We will endeavor to pray for you and support you in the months to come. Amen.
Some of our teachers are going to make their way up. Jackie and Victor this morning are going to make their way up. The others are going to move back. And if our young friends want to move to the back of the sanctuary, Jackie and Victor will guide you upstairs. And we're going to move into just a little bit of helpful, slow walking music. If our young friends want to start to make their way towards Victor, who's at the door. And families with young friends can know that after worship, you'll be able to pick children up, infants through preschool in the A-frame, and kindergartners through sixth grade upstairs. And so as our young friends make their way to Godly Play, many of them for the first time, we're going to continue in worship with song. This is a song which comes to us from Audrey Assad. This is our music team sharing Irrational Season.
There are many ways to read scripture. We talk a lot about that in growing in faith. And this morning we have two scriptures that I'm going to share. They're very different from one another. They come from the same book, the Bible. And so we remember that the Bible is an expression of the people of God throughout the ages. So I offer these scriptures as they fall upon your ears in very different ways. And in between them, we'll have just some quiet music. And again, if you want to move to the candles or stay right where you are, all is acceptable and encouraged. Our first reading comes from the book of Psalms, and it's from the 51st Psalm, the first 10 verses. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. From the book of Jeremiah in the 4th chapter. At that time it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes from me out of the bare heights in the desert toward my people, not to winnow or cleanse, a wind too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them, for my people are foolish, they do not know me. They are stupid children, they have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. Because of this, the earth shall mourn. The heavens grow black, for I have spoken, I have purposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back.
As our musicians move down, I'm going to invite us into just the spirit of prayer together. God, may the depth of your grace and love hold whatever might be stirring in our hearts and minds and within our bodies. As we gather on this day, may we remember both the deep histories of our world and also your love, which never lets us go. And so we offer this moment in our lives in your creative ways and in your many names. Amen. As we began to move toward this Sunday, I was listening to a podcast which includes a professor of preaching from a Lutheran seminary in Minnesota, and her name is Joy Moore, Reverend Dr. Joy Moore. And she shared a story that I found connecting and powerful in preparation of trying to hold these readings together on this September 11th, 21 years after 2001. And Dr. Moore was reflecting on a story, an experience that she had actually, and it was this summer. She was traveling through Pennsylvania, and she was remembering over these last 2 years how seldom she'd actually traveled anywhere. And then she found herself on the highway in Pennsylvania, lost. And as she turned, not certain where she was, it's supposed to be easy to follow Google Maps, but it wasn't, and she found herself where she didn't anticipate, and as that happened, she saw a sign, and the sign was for the memorial, a memorial that commemorates the crash of United Airlines Flight 93 on September 11, 2001. It was because she had actually made a wrong turn that she ended up seeing that sign. It wasn't what she was intending for her day or for that moment, but when she saw the sign inviting her to that remembrance, her plans for the day shifted. That memorial, like every memorial, is a particular place that invites people to remember a particular moment in history. And Dr. Moore found herself flooded with memories as she turned off that highway and into that memorial. Memories from 21 years ago. And memories of all that's transpired over these last months. Loss from long ago, lament for the moment in which we find ourselves, grief. As she arrived and she got out of her car at this memorial to help us to hold our lives in conversation with those who lost their life in Flight 93, she walked and encountered what they call the Tower of Voices. It's a 93-foot-tall musical instrument. It holds 40 wind chimes. It's a visual and an audible reminder of the 40 passengers and crew members on Flight 93. The Tower of Voices creates a set of 40 tones or 40 voices as the winds blow. And so I invite us to just listen to some of that sound. Thank you. to the voices, the sounds. She felt herself overwhelmed, and she did what many of us do in those moments of overwhelm. She took out her phone to record the experience. She deeply wanted people in her life to touch into this moment that she was feeling, and she was there unexpectedly on her own. And unlike the cloudy day where we could hear the chimes, she was there on a sunny summer day and the winds were gusting so loud. The chimes move or ring at just 7 mile an hour winds. And so she was recording, and then she sent this off to friends to be in it together with friends from far away. And they started to respond to her, "We don't understand what you're saying. All we hear is the wind. All we hear is the wind." Just didn't translate in that recording. Dr. Moore arrived at this memorial ready to remember, to mourn, to lament. And yet what she found herself feeling as she stood there before this 93-foot-tall instrument surrounded by the beauty of pines around her was an overwhelming sense of just beauty. Beauty and actually hope and even joy as she stood in that space. See, the wind was moving, and while it didn't translate in her recording, she felt in her bones, in her body, as we sang, in and through the body, this deep sense of hope and joy and beauty standing before this art piece. And it was the winds that were creating this. It's this place where we go to remember historic trauma. And the wind takes those memories, that trauma, and creates a sense of hope that reverberates through sound in our bodies, that opens us to hope and even to joy. And what she was reminded of is that experience is why we come to the table. That movement. That is the movement of God. It's the movement of worship, the movement of the Spirit, the very breath of God moving in places of grief and even despair and lament and bringing unexpected beauty and hope and joy. So we gather to remember that in the midst of grief and sorrow, God is always already breathing God's Spirit, the winds, the ruah, through creation. And those voices ring as God's Spirit blows over and through. The psalmist says it, sings it, prays it so beautifully. "Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice." The context giving rise to this psalm echoes the context that Pastor Linda shared from the book of Jeremiah. These are ancient experiences of lament and even despair. The story of Jeremiah is a story of a prophet not turning away from that experience. To be clear, the reading from Jeremiah is confusing, as is much of the book of Jeremiah. It can be difficult for our contemporary ears to make sense of what's going on in the midst of this ancient context. But confusing or not, many folks who long to follow Jesus tend to want, like I do at moments, to turn away from those ancient experiences of hurt. It's hard, as Sarnit so beautifully invited us into in our prayer, to touch into the histories in us and through us, the trauma that has been real. Yet God never turns away from despair. God's wind moves amid hurt, raising even crushed bones into songs of rejoicing. Dr. Steve Davidson was working on his doctoral studies in Hebrew Bible at Union Theological Seminary in New York City. And he had his first day as a doctoral student in New York on September 11th, 2001, just down the hall from where I had my first day of Masters of Divinity program from Steed. And so Steed reflects on September 11th from a place of rootedness in that moment. And Steed writes about September 11th in this way. He says, older millennials and people from other generations living in the United States associate September 11th with the tragic loss of over 2,000 lives in New York City at the turn of the century. The trauma of the day itself easily evolved into several other national traumas of war and the aftermath of war. For as September 11th is etched for so many of us, it's just weeks later, October 7th, that we began bombing ourselves. The national rituals of the day, Steed continues, try to fix this single day as a superlative memory that defines and determines matters of security and defense and immigration and even economic policy. As chapter 4 of Jeremiah so aptly points out, though, disaster overtakes disaster, and the competition for the worst day makes little sense within the course of human existence. Each generation doesn't simply get the chance to revel in its own trauma. Traumas become more complex and more frequent, crossing generations like songs that defy neat genre categorization. God holds creation as much as God requires change from humans in the ways we move through creation. And the psalmist pleads for that kind of change within themselves. In the most personal of ways, Psalm 51 sings, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. The church calls that repentance. Yet the pleading of repentance is not about simply looking upon my own shortcomings, or even about simply wallowing in the disaster upon disaster that overtakes our world. For the winds of God's change blow even amid those experiences of the dark night of the soul, even amid what feels like the worst day possible. And these winds bring crushed bones to sing songs of joy, joy in a new day which God is bringing forth. And another scholar, Dr. Paul Kangkul Cho, writes about it more beautifully than I can. He says that Psalm 51 reminds us that repentance has to do with particular sins, not simply sin in the abstract. We approach God, that's what the psalmist is doing, and daring to ask for forgiveness, not because we deserve it, not because we'll do better next time, not because we're truly sincere, not because of anything about us or what we do. We approach God as the psalmist does and dare ask forgiveness because of who God is. And so it is on this day that ties us back to one particular trauma, and through that and in that to so many other traumas in the world, we too come to God, asking God to create in us a clean heart. Create in me, in that personal way, the psalmist prays. But as a community, we come together, create in us clean hearts, God. Create in us clean hearts, O God. And I don't know where you are in this moment in your own life. My sense is that some of us might be not far from where Dr. Moore was, or actually lost. She was lost on a highway in Pennsylvania, and some of us may resonate with that feeling. And perhaps as well, some of us feel a sense of despair. You know, the folks that were leaving their homes with fires just up the highway on Thursday night, the trauma that builds upon trauma, echoing what Jeremiah was seeing and naming. And some of us actually need to turn toward a God who might help us to break free from the destructive patterns that grip us. And some of us are in a place, I was thinking about this as I saw Anthony actually, some of us are in a place where we're not ready to necessarily sing a song of joy at this moment. And what I turn to or rely upon, and the reason I was feeling this with Anthony is because it was years back when Anthony was our music director and a rapper from Minnesota named Dave Shear came and was here with us for worship. And while Dave's energy is up and huge when he comes into worship, Dave was at a place that resonated with my own place at that moment. And for us, it was an experience of miscarriage. And for Dave, it was some other things going on in his life. But when we were on this long jog, Dave said, you know, Matt, one of the reasons that I keep coming back to church is just to sing, to know that even when I can't sing those words of hope, that other people around me can sing an ancient song and that I can be carried away by that. And so we turn to a psalmist and we turn to Jeremiah, for the winds of God are moving in that 93-foot-tall musical instrument in Pennsylvania, and they are moving through whatever experiences of hurt or even despair we may hold at this moment. And so may our feelings be held by a God who loves us and meets us in them. May the parts of ourselves that long to change and transform be given over to a God who meets us in that very space and raises crushed bones into songs of rejoicing. And if you don't have the words for that right now, we turn to an old song and we sing it in a new day. And our musicians are going to help us with that. And I invite you to join as you feel led, or to allow others, the voices of the 40, to carry you in this moment. This is night has passed, morning has broken.
Night has passed and the day lies open. Night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice, as we rejoice in the gift of this day, in the gift of this day. The gift of this day. gift of this day, in the gift of this day, in the gift of this day. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing afresh from the world. Oh, and the gift of this day, in the gift of this day, in the gift of this day.
Standing in the gift of his day and longing for his followers to pray with one heart and voice, one heart and mind. Jesus gathered those closest to him around a table to rejoice and to give thanks for their day. And in preparing to come this day to God's table, we too pause to join with one heart and mind by pleading in our way together for God. Whew. To create clean hearts in us. And so I invite us into this prayer of confession together with one voice. Let us pray.
God of mercy and hope, we are complicit in the brokenness of this world. We turn against you. We harm our neighbors. We traumatize your creation. Create in us clean hearts, we pray. Amen.
And we dare again this day to ask God for forgiveness, not because we deserve it, not because we will do better next time, not even because we are truly sincere or because of actually anything about us or what we do. We approach God and dare to ask for forgiveness because of God and who God is, because of who God is. Our hearts are made clean by God this day and every day, and even the crushed bones rejoice, for God is singing a new song. Let the people say amen.
Amen. And I invite you to join with us in the call and response that is the church's practice for recognizing the belovedness of God and each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
The Lord be with you. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the beginning, when all was chaos, water and earth had yet to take shape. God, the sculptor, the painter, the creator, touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe. And to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings began to make waves, and God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight, and God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, is good." But it wasn't good for long, because God's people could not be faithful despite God's generosity, God's forgiveness, and God's love. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out love and beauty and compassion, the sounds which reverberate through the generation in a new song, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be, if we would abide in God's love as Jesus abides in God's unfolding grace.
Jesus did all that he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love one another. But we couldn't accept that and we couldn't agree about it and we became afraid. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was too great for them. The principalities, the powers which lure the people of God through the ages to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus prevailed for time. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises us that he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those longest ago companions, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us or what is coming and going and coming again means for us, but we can be grateful and we can sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
On the night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal. It was bread and it was wine at the time. And he blessed them both and he gave thanks to God and said, "I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather in remembrance of me." Let us pray together with one voice the words that Jesus taught his disciples long ago, and they were passed through the ages and generations. The church has named them the Lord's Prayer. And we invite you to address God in the language that is most dear and true in your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon these gifts and upon each of us gathered in these spaces. Make this for us your body and love, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, your love alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at God's table. And when I say all, I mean all. Everyone here that is in the sanctuary will be shortly invited by Sarnit as he goes down the center aisle to move out of doors for Holy Communion. Our youngest friends are back in godly play, and so I hope you'll also notice that there'll be a plate of bread that goes up to them for their feast as they celebrate together. Here at the table, we have bread, as I said, that was baked for us this morning. We have also crackers in the middle of the plate, which don't have gluten, and in the cup is juice. All of us always, I hope, can remember and be mindful that someone is here for the very first time this morning, maybe more than one someone. And many of us are here week after week. And so we are in this divine dance together, watching over one another. You can't make a mistake, so please don't worry about that. Just watch what is going on around and follow and ask for help if you need it.
There are places to pray throughout our sanctuary, and for those online, we encourage you to be in a spirit of prayer as well. This is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of God's love poured out for you. Thank you. We encourage those praying with candles to stay for just as long as you need in that space of prayer. And God, we give thanks to you for this divine dance, this holy mystery through which you are revealed to all of creation in this simple and sacred act of breaking bread at a table to which you welcome all. So may your peace make us one and your love bind us together in Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen. We want to encourage you to wonder about how God might call you to respond to love in the world, and that looks and takes many, many different forms. You'll find ways that you might take next steps in your journey. With us here at the table, there are ways to give generously of our resources, either by doing that here for those of us in the sanctuary, online, or through text. We also will be offering a number of different ways to connect with others in our community to talk more about the broader system that we are part of called the United Methodist Church, and we have offerings that'll take place here at the table and others at a local brewery. You can find those online. We also will be gathering out at the farm on the equinox, and next Sunday we will begin a new worship series that we're calling Music Circus Redux at the Table. So we will be bringing Kinky Boots to the table next Sunday, and you can find out more about that and wonder about what might be up. And some people are seeing that for the very first time, trying to think about what that might mean. I'm just going to let you wonder about what that might mean, and we will see. So on this day, for those of us that have our young friends in the nursery, our children under four will be there, and our upstairs as in Godly Play is where our older friends will be, and they'll just invite you to make a line outside, and your children will be, or our children will be dismissed out in that space. So I invite you to stand as you're willing and able. Our musicians are going to take us out this morning in song. This is The Brilliance's Breathe. Rejoice. May the ground broken below us be healed through the breath of God, the wind of the Spirit. Go in that peace. Amen.